This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. There's
nowhere to go. Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. My good friend Rick Horton is with us right now, and I've always wanted to ask this question because I was not covering Rick when he was actually a player. But Rick, were you regarded as kind of a go-to guy to the media? Were you always a great soundbite?
Well, I'll say this, Frank. First of all, that means that's how young you are that you weren't covering it yet. That you basically just said, I'm an old guy. But that's okay. and the answer is yes, Frank. I was very comfortable. I wouldn't say a team leader kind of comfortable. Like, I didn't feel like I could speak for the team, but I was always willing to do it. It got along well with the media at the time, and you know, figured I could handle that, and when other guys were maybe too swamped to do it.
You know, I said this, I was talking to Brad Thompson once about this, and he was become a terrific talk show host. He's doing a great job on Fox Sports Midwest. Mm-hmm. And I said, I never knew you had this in you. And he said, he goes, well, that's because you really didn't put me on camera much, because middle relievers don't, you know, get interviews normally after the game.
Well, it is a fact, and I think, you know, Brad is terrific. I agree with you, both TV and radio. He's fun. He's funny, and you know, it's interesting. People would talk about Brad Thompson, and I never saw that side either. And sometimes players are a little guarded too. That's the other side of it. Is while you're playing, especially if you're not a frontline guy, you're so careful about what you say, and you don't want to become kind of the personality. And a young player doesn't want to speak for the team, and you know, because you'll get some abuse for that. And I know I did an interview my first year in the big leagues, and Bruce Sutter yelled at me because I did it at a time where I should have been on the field. And I said, well, that's when it was. He says, I don't care what it was. You're on Whitey time right now. And I went, okay. So I just realized that I have to be very careful about the what and the where. And so, you know, but Brad does do a terrific job. And, you know, middle relief is kind of like the repairman. You don't want to call unless something's messed up. And if you're going well, you know, you don't notice them until they mess up.
I am amazed, not to sound too petty, that after a game when somebody does pretty well and they're just so reluctant and so short with the answers. Now, some of it's become kind of a shtick. I mean, Lance Lynn is a lot of fun with his short little answers. That's not what I'm talking about. But some guys, I mean, we're asking them to talk about that dramatic home run they just hit or the double or the great play. And they just seem so uncomfortable. And I don't understand why with some of them.
Well, you know, it's interesting that, you know, some of it is the fact that that's just the personality of the player. I think a lot of baseball players tend to be just a little bit aloof. I mean, that's kind of I think the sport breeds that in a way, even through the minor leagues. It's kind of like a bunch of individuals playing a team sport. It's one way we say it. The other way I used to say it is, you know, being around football players and baseball players, football players are like dogs and baseball players are like cats. I mean, the football guys, you just come right out and here's who I am and let me show you, and let me kind of be more friendly. And baseball players like to go hide in a corner. They just do. And,
yeah.
And come out every once in a while and let you pet them, and then they go back in the corner. And I don't know whether it breeds it that or the fact that you play every single day, too. I think that's the other thing, Frank, is that, and you know this from seeing the, you know, the word grind, which sometimes gets overused and misappropriated, but it is a daily thing, and sometimes you just want to escape from it. And you really can't, and so that's why I think they get a little short.
And when did you know that you could do this? Because obviously you know the game, you coached it also, and you were always eloquent and witty. I mean, when did you think, you know what, I can broadcast?
Well, I can tell you exactly the moment. I remember the moment. It's when Jack Buck told me I could do it. And the second he told me that, he said, you know, when you're done with this kid, you ought to try it. and he set me up to have a meeting with Bob Hyland at the time, well-respected at KMOX and really the guru of broadcasting in St. Louis at the time. And I had a meeting with Bob Hyland. I believe the meeting started at something like 8:13 at night. I mean, it was one of those, that's how busy the man was. It was an odd time. And I went in and he suggested that I work on it. And I was still playing at the time. So they planted that seed. And I think that's part of the confidence that I brought to doing it. And early on, Frank, one of the first things I really did on the TV side was with you and Mike Bush. And that was some practical experience in it. And, you know, Trey Wingo was there at the time too, just doing some playoff analysis. And it just seemed fun and easy and comfortable to me.
All right, let's get to the series. I know Mike Leake, overall, his numbers are solid. It's kind of what you expect. But recently, it's not great. Confidence level in him tonight in Fenway Park?
Well, it's a tough place to pitch. There's no question about it. Fenway Park is tough. But, you know, Leake is, I would say, one of the hardest Cardinal pitchers to predict. I would say he is the hardest Cardinal starter to predict what's going to happen, because he could come out and give up two hits in seven innings, or he can have a game where he lasts two innings and gives up 10 hits. I mean, we've seen that with him because he's so precise in what he does. And he's so, I think it's important how good the defense is behind him. We talk about that all the time, but also how much the umpire is giving him. And do they give him the corners? Do they give him the low pitch? You know, he needs that. And if he gets that, and if he's sharp, you know, he's good. I mean, he changes speed so well. He's going up against Porcello, who was the Cy Young Award winner a year ago, but hasn't been as good this season. But it's going to be a fun series. By the way, Frank, they're celebrating the 67 American League Championship here the next couple of days. They're going to have some of the players back from that, including Yastrzemski and Lomborg. And so that's going to be a pretty interesting moment for us to see them celebrate 67 in a way that we've already done that at Busch Stadium.
Speaking of celebrations, what was the most attention-grabbing moment of your weekend with your 87 teammates? What jumped out at you, seeing who, or what was it?
Well, the two guys I like to see the most were Rod Booker and Lance Johnson, two guys I haven't seen in 25 years. And Lance and I were traded together to the White Sox, so we played there, and Rod Booker and I were close and good friends, and we just lost touch and may have not seen him after the last out of the 87 World Series. That's possible. That's what happens in baseball. And you know, he moved on and I moved on. Really good to catch up with those two guys. I think what I was surprised by most was just how much fun it was. I mean, I knew it would be good, but it was way more than good. It was almost a magical experience to be with those guys. Many of those guys, as you know, Frank, still live in St. Louis, but you know, to have other guys come in and all of us together to be at standing on the first baseline and just to be appreciated by the fans as we were, and you know, the coaches and the players, and you know, Mike Schilt came up to me and said, "I really want to meet Tommy Herr. Can you introduce me to Tommy Herr?" And he said, "I just love Tommy Herr." And some of those fun little moments, you know, stick out to me.
Boy, it's insane too. You bring up Herr, and then with Ozzy had zero home runs and 75 RBIs,
right.
And I think Herr had 3 and 83. I mean, just
correct.
It was stunning.
Well, it's a different kind of offense, and to say that, I mean, they may have combined. I thought that whatever it was, 2 or 3. But the point is, that's a lot. That's 150 RBIs with a couple of home runs, and that means somebody's doing something in front of them. That means they're moving them over. That means they're driving them. That means situational hitting on fire is what that is. And so, you know, Jack Clark certainly drove in runs the way we see runs being driven in now with a 3-run home run. But there, you know, there are other ways to drive in 85 runs, and clearly those two guys did it. Also shows how much speed the team had, because you have to go first to third to do that. You have to score on fly balls. You have to bunt well, all those things. And that team certainly did.
You know, a funny thing happened to Joe McGrain on his way to stardom. He never quite got there. But boy, Rick, there was a time early in his career where you thought, man, this guy's headed for Steve Carlton's career.
Well, he starts game 7 of the World Series as a rookie. I mean, that's just crazy. I believe he's the only one to have done that. I don't know if he hadn't done it, first pitcher in a long time. I can't remember. But starting game 7 of the World Series is a pretty big deal. And Joe had unbelievable movement with his fastball. Joe did not throw 98. He threw 93, 94 probably at tops. But the sink on his fastball, and I kind of likened him to Carlos Martinez in terms of how much his ball moves. And I'm not saying he was like him from the left side, right side, but didn't have the same kind of off-speed pitches that that Carlos has. But movement-wise, he did. Impossible to catch. And ERA champion as a young pitcher, too. I believe it was 88. So if he hadn't gotten injured, Joe could have easily become the kind of pitcher you're talking about, a Hall of Fame-type player. And, you know, that's part of what happens in the game is injuries crop up.
All right, back to the present Cardinals for a moment. I'm not saying that he has the most potential. I'm not saying he's going to have the best career. But in 2017, is Lance Lynn your best Cardinal starting pitcher?
Is Lance Lynn the best Cardinal starting pitcher in 2017? I would say the answer is yes. I mean, I would say he's been the most consistent. Mike Leake carried things early. Carlos has the highest ceiling about what he can be. Adam has the most experience. And Waka had a nice run. But if you're talking about who has been the best and most consistent all year, I'd say it is Lance Lynn. And Lance Lynn reminds me of Danny Cox back to marrying 87 and what we've got here.
Yeah.
They're both gamers. They're guys that just, you know, they're not like crazy overpowering with their stuff, but they just know how to get it done. And Lance has been fun. I'm just glad he's still a Cardinal, frankly, because, you know, we all wondered whether or not that would happen around the trading deadline. And I think the Cardinals would have been sorry had they lost Lance Lynn.
Yeah, boy, that's a great comparison with Danny Cox. I really like that. Yeah. And in terms of keeping Lance Lynn, you know, I know about the Dakota Hudsons and the Flahertys and the Reyeses, but this is St. Louis, Missouri, where they draw 47,000 on a Saturday night to watch the Cardinals play the Diamondbacks. The object is to keep your best players. I don't think with the revenue stream coming in that there's any logical way to say it's a good idea to let this horse and your best pitcher walk. What's your take on him?
You let guys walk if you think they're at the end of their rope, and he's young enough that I don't think he's at the end of his rope. You let guys walk if you think that they're not quite good enough, and maybe the second round pick will be equivalent to him in 3 years. But I think Lynn's above that too. So I mean, if you have a guy, and I'm just going to throw some names out there, and I don't want to pick on them, but I mean, guys towards the end of their career like Kyle Loesch or Jeff Suppan, really good pitchers. But you know, you get towards the end, you kind of go, well, you know, the pick might be worth letting them go, and we're thankful for what they did. But I think Lynn's a little above that notch, frankly, as a guy that can get a lot of innings. And you know, I just think Lance is good for this team. I'd like to see them re-sign him. Of course, it's not my money, Frank. I mean, it is going to be expensive because he's going to command a lot. And I just hope the Cardinals are competitive with whatever that might be.
There's a story today that there are four teams that have actually talked to the Marlins about Stanton in a waiver deal, and one has actually discussed prospects. Gut feel, do you think the Cardinals are one of the four?
My gut feel is I think they're one of the four. Yes, I don't know that. That's a guess. I mean, I have no idea. But I mean, it wouldn't hurt to talk. And you know, what that would do, talk about money, that'd be a big contract to have to swallow. And that would be a very different kind of approach than what the Cardinals have been doing the last couple of years. But boy, it'd be worth having a conversation as far as I'm concerned.
If Tommy Pham doesn't sputter down the stretch, will the Cardinals say in this offseason, our 2018 left fielder is Tommy Pham?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. I mean, they said in March, which is not very long ago, Tommy Pham is not one of our best five outfielders. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about how much that's changed. And so I don't know that they'll say that until they have to say that. I mean, I think, you know, Tommy Pham has certainly earned that. I mean, there's something about the energy that he brings and the passion that he brings that I think has infected this team a little bit. And, you know, my latest thought on this team, Frank, is that this team was stuck. And I think a little bit of controversy that happened in their clubhouse, and I think Tommy Pham got them unstuck. And so I think we all know what that's like to get kind of in a routine and you just can't get out of where you are. You're just kind of mired in the mud a little bit. And I'm not saying it was bad. They were playing around 500. But if it wasn't for Tommy Pham and Magnera Sierra, they wouldn't have had – they'd have been stuck a lot lower than where they were stuck. And so now they've kind of pounced out of that, and he's still contributing. And I just think why wouldn't he be the left fielder next year if you had to say it at this point? But, you know, 9 months from now is a long way away.
Final thought. What makes you think that this Paul DeJong thing is not an aberration and this guy is legitimate and will be around for a while?
Well, I think the best answer to that is by being around him. When you're around him, you just got a sense of a really cool, collected young man. He's 23. That just doesn't seem fazed by things. He's confident, but yet not arrogant. And I think the fact that he's really good at making adjustments, and he talks about that. He said, "I know what they're trying to do to me, and I have to do something different." I mean, that's a smart comment to make. And you know, not to know the adjustment, but then to be able to make it. That's the next step. I think he's good at both.
Great stuff. Rick, we'll be listening tonight. Thanks so much for your time, sir.
You're the best, Frank. Thanks.
All right. Rick Horton joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. And this segment is brought to you by our good friends at Gulfport of Maryland Heights, 878-4653. That's 878-GOLF. One Gulfport Drive, and it's my friend Dale Boggs. He is a tremendous teaching pro. His lovely wife, Carol, kind of runs the operation. There's nobody better than Carol Boggs. Batting cages, they have arm machines for both baseball and softball. How many batting cages have arm machines? So you can kind of time it a little bit better. They have Cutter Creek, 25 to 40 yard shots. Outstanding. And of course, the driving range itself. There's nothing better. My kids spent their childhoods at Maryland Heights at Gulfport. Dale's one of my lifelong good friends. If you're looking for a great place to improve your game, there's no better place than Gulfport. That'll do it for this edition of the program. Coming up next will be Charles and Martin. We'll be back in 22.